with happy voices singing. I chose that song today because when I was a kid, our youth group came down, and I forget if it was at Beacon Heights or here at Lincolnshire. It was on Palm Sunday, and we got to sing that as a special song that we did with our young youth group down here. And I wish I could remember which church it was. But it has a special meaning just because of years ago singing it at one of your sister churches down here, Beacon Heights or Lincolnshire. We have some special women with us today, as you can see over here. And they are part of our service today. You know, we always hear of great men, of noted inventors and scientists, renowned authors and artists, of prominent men in the church and the state. They're eminent theologians, valiant soldiers. Yeah, there are some unnoteworthy, proud dictators, but also able presidents. History will always know the names of Moses and Jesus, the Apostle Paul, Caesar Augustus, Michelangelo, Alexander Mack, Einstein, and Dan West. I was a social studies teacher in my other life, and I could teach U.S. history and world history, sociology, government, and economics. And in the end, it turned out to be economics. But history, I always kind of wondered how that word came about. Think about it, if you do. His story. History. Now, I thought we should have another class called Her Story, but we just had His Story, or History. You know, we don't hear too often of great women, as we do of supposedly great men. But as we survey the Bible, many women are mentioned for their faith and their accomplishments. We have four of those women with us today. As we focus on the biblical women that are here, we're going to be using Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, as our scripture today. However, the scripture is going to be a part of the sermon. We're going to begin with Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 12. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far more than rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life.
I am Abigail. I was the wife of a wicked and self-centered man named Nabal. David, who had been anointed king but had not yet taken office, sent servants to kindly ask my husband Nabal to show hospitality to him and his servants. David's servants had been companions and protectors of our shepherds. My husband's response was that David was lazy and presumptuous. David, who was traveling with his men after the burial of Samuel, was angered at my husband's reply. I heard that David prepared his men for a battle against us. Our family and servants would be slaughtered if David and his men attacked us. I had to think of something fast. David had 400 men. An army lives on its stomach. So my servants and I prepared a feast and loaded it on a wagon and prepared to meet David. The feast did the trick. David agreed to spare our family for my sake. While I was meeting David, my husband Nabal was drinking and celebrating because he had told David to take a hike. I told Nabal the next morning what I had done to protect our family. He became so shocked that his heart died within him, and he became as stone.
Abigail was brave enough to take a leap of faith when the odds were totally against her. She was humble enough to acknowledge the faults that her husband had and trusted God's will enough to let go and let God be in control. The Life Application Bible says that Abigail was sensible, capable, a persuasive speaker, and able to see beyond herself. She saw the big picture. She didn't have the narrow blinds on her face. She could see what was going to happen, and so she acted. The lesson from her life is that life's situations, tough situations, can bring out the best in people. And one does not have to have a prestigious title in order to play a significant role in life. After Nabal died, David sent for Abigail to become his wife. David saw in Abigail that here was a woman who was going to make the most out of her skills and her abilities. She was a natural counselor, a natural leader, who would keep him, David, from making rash decisions. She was a woman who promoted peace above all and allowed God plenty of room in her life to get involved. Abigail, the natural leader, the counselor. We need more women and we need more men to replicate her life. To continue our reading in Proverbs, let us read verses 13, dyslexic right there, 13 through 19, and 22 through 25 in Proverbs 31. The scripture states, "She seeks wool and flax, and willingly works with her hand. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food not only for her household, but for her maid servants as well. She considers a field and she buys it. And with the profit that she has, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and she strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand, and her hand holds the spindle. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the gates, and when he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come."
Hi, I'm Lydia. I was the first European convert to Christianity by the Apostle Paul. After my conversion, my children became Christians and were the nucleus of the Church of Philippi. I was a widow who courageously and capably carried on my husband's trade for the sake of my children. I was a seller of purple, which meant that I was skilled in procuring the precious dyes from the veins of the murex plant so that I made brilliant hues of purple and crimson in textiles. I even advertised by wearing the clothing that I had made with these beautiful dyes. I even hand-stitched, so if anyone wants to order anything, see me after. When I became a Christian, I begged Paul to be of service to him. I said to Paul, "If you have judged me to be faithful, come to my house and make it your home." Paul and his companions accepted my hospitality for many days. In Philippi, Paul experienced his first persecution, and I began to realize what it might cost me and my family to live for Christ. Yet I did not hesitate to show Paul and his companions kindness, even though it could have seriously affected my business and my personal safety.
Lydia was quite a business person. She got up early every morning. She made breakfast for herself, for her family, for her maidservants, and then she went to work outside of the home. When she came home, she would work in her garden, and she did some sewing, she made supper, she washed dishes, and she even exercised. That last part I just can't get into. But I like eating the breakfast and the dinner and the supper. I do enjoy that. And on top of all that, she wanted to serve the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine that? And his companions, and she wanted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Lydia was just an amazing woman. When people say today they cannot attend church because they need one day to rest, they need to keep the hard-working Lydia in mind. She was a businesswoman who had a heart for Jesus. She had a heart for her family. And she was a businesswoman. And it was in that order: Jesus, her family, her business. The next section of the scriptures from Proverbs describes our next biblical woman. It comes from Proverbs 31, verses 20 and 21, and also verses 26 and 27. Now, some people called her Tabitha. Some people called her Dorcas. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness.
I, Dorcas, was said to be compassionate and a benevolent woman who was, first of all, a disciple. I learned that to love one another as I have loved you found its full meaning in practice. I was a doer as well as a hearer of God's word. I didn't do anything spectacular for the disciples of Jesus, but I did what I could. I spent my time sewing new garments, and washing and smoothing rough old cloth, in remaking, fitting, and mending garments for the poor. The work was very tedious and required endless patience and unselfish dedication. But each garment that I sewed was stitched with threads of love. Each seam was closed with kind thoughts, and each coat was hemmed in sympathy.
The name Dorcas today is synonymous with that of charity. We hear much of nervous tension, of thwarted energy, of anxiety, of anger management. Dorcas knew the remedy. It was to keep her hands busy by doing for others. To be abounding in the work of the Lord, no matter how humble the task. That is good spiritual and physical health that we get from doing that. Dorcas, contemplating the needs of others, she minimalized her own. That she was a pleasant woman and the best friend of many, and a saint among the disciples, can be inferred from the effect that her death had upon the people in her community, the people of her church, especially the Apostle Peter. You know, when we look in the Bible, Peter's greatest miracle was that of having Dorcas rise from the dead. She was brought back to life. And Dorcas maybe had prayed many times, "Here I am, Lord, use me," as well as practice these words of Jesus: "Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me." Our final scripture this morning comes from Proverbs 31, verses 28 through 31. "Her children shall rise up and will call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates."
I, Lois, am the mother of Eunice and the grandmother of Timothy. I am so proud of both of them. My daughter Eunice represents Christian motherhood at its best. Her unfeigned faith, prayers, and labors of love produced one of the greatest leaders in the Christian church, Timothy. She was a faithful wife, a virtuous woman, in whom the heart of her husband could trust. However, Eunice's husband died when Timothy was very young. It was up to Eunice and me to train Timothy in the faith. It was fortunate that Eunice and I were in the same mind, the same faith, and ideals. We believed in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Because Eunice was a widow, she had to work outside of the home. Many times she wasn't around, so it was up to me to fill in. We made our home a happy and sacred place. We accepted the full responsibility of Timothy's education. By the time Timothy was 5 years old, he was learning how to read the scriptures. The spiritual lessons were not only taught, but lived by Eunice and me. The Apostle Paul came to Lystra and converted our entire family from Judaism to Christianity.
How fortunate it was for Timothy that the Apostle Paul came to Lystra and converted not only mom, grandma, but Timothy as well. Now later on, after Timothy had grown a little bit, both in spirit and physically, the Apostle Paul came back to Lystra. And he was so amazed at the wisdom and the knowledge that Timothy had, that he wanted to take Timothy as a missionary with him. And he did. Timothy became great because his mother and grandmother were faithful to the high calling of Christian motherhood. Because she considered it her sacred duty to bring her son up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, Timothy became a man of God who was sent by Paul to accomplish the most difficult task. And if you read 1 and 2 Timothy, you'll find out what some of those were. It wasn't easy for Timothy. He was called the beloved spiritual son of Paul, and he was endowed with the Spirit of God, and he became an evangelist and a good minister of Jesus Christ. You know, this morning we have studied four role models. Will our four role models please stand? These were women of the Bible whose faith helped them accomplish much for their God, their families, and their communities. You may be seated. But I'll have each one of them stand up one more time. We'll start with Abigail. Abigail, would you stand, please? Abigail was a negotiator and a counselor. She was a great politician who helped King David. What about Lydia? Lydia was quite a businesswoman. You can tell by the seams that she can hide underneath that cloth and how well she did. She was great. And she had a promising theatrical career later on. Dorcas was a woman who helped the needy. She was the Salvation Army and goodwill of her day. She did a wonderful job, and it was very evident by the people who loved and surrounded her, especially Peter. And then finally, we had Lois and Eunice. Well, we just have one of them, but that's okay. The other one had a date out of town somewhere. But both of them together, mother and grandmother, they are nurturers of a future Christian leader, a Christian evangelist. These are just a few of the many women who played significant roles in the Old and New Testament. You know, here at Lincolnshire, Cheryl and I have just had an opportunity to start meeting people here. But you know what? We have Eunice's and Lois and Abigail's and Lydia's and Dorcas. We have them all right here. And isn't that wonderful? You may not be called Abigail or Lydia or Dorcas or Lois, but you have that same type of spirit. You have that same type of hospitality. You work with people so well. And we know that we have not only that in Lincolnshire, but we have it in the Fort Wayne community as well. I had an opportunity to go to the National Day of Prayer here in Fort Wayne at the Fort Wayne Public Library. And it was great to see all the individuals who were assembled there and all the individuals who stood up and spoke for Christ. That was just amazing. And we have many women whose faith have directed their lives in different venues. Maybe they're not the businesswoman or the negotiator or dealing with the needy or being the nurturer, but they have another gift. And that's what we have to do as a church, is to find out what those gifts are, to have people explore those gifts and be able to use them either within our own church body or within our community. To all of you, our women of faith, we give you our agape love, our undying respect, and our hope and our prayers for continued success. Happy Mother's Day. Amen.